Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
This week, if you've been with us for the last little while, you can probably guess where to turn. But if you haven't been, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. This is week 7 of our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount as we've been walking through this sermon that Jesus gives. But this is also the 5th week in a row that we've been at Matthew chapter 6. So if you have been with us for all of those, your Bible may by now just fall open to there. Or if you use the app, you just might have muscle memory that just takes you immediately to Matthew chapter 6, as this is week 5 that we've been in Matthew chapter 6, and we still got a couple more to go. But this week, we are continuing our look at the Sermon on the Mount. But with us also being halfway through the month, I want to remind you about our Lord's Prayer Challenge that we've been doing this month, where we've been inviting you to each day take about 30 seconds and read the Lord's Prayer to yourself. And I would just, by a show of hands, anybody who's done it every day this month? Well, that was going to be my next question. I was going to say, so that's amazing. Well done, all of you. This next question, I was going to say, anybody done it most days this month? And I'll let you define most. So we won't come up with criteria for what most is. You can just raise your hand. But well done. Well done. And I hope that it's making a difference in your life and you're starting to notice the Lord's Prayer having an effect in your life. If you haven't been, if you've been here all these weeks and you didn't raise your hand on either one and you're kind of like, we still got half the month to go. You get to jump in now. Better now than never. And so you can, if you need a card, we still have a bunch available up at the front here. And so you can grab one after the church or after the service. Or maybe if what's happened to you is every week so far I've said that, come and grab one after the service, and you've been like, I'm gonna do that, and then you leave without doing it. You can come and grab one now. Like, and no one is gonna be like, ooh. See, look, Joe's doing it. Right, see? No, and no one says, ooh. In fact, there we go. Well done. Well done, Joe. He's offering to help. Look at that. That is community. You need one, Don? All right. All right, perfect. This week, we are going to continue our look at the Lord's Prayer, but before we do that, we're going to read it through again one more time. You don't have to read with me. We did read it earlier in the service, so if you are starting the challenge today, you're already done one. You can already check off today's date because we did it this morning. I'm going to read it again. You can read along with me if you want. You don't need to. I'm not looking for it. But we're going to read this prayer together again, where Jesus will say, "This then is how you're to pray." And he'll say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Yeah, there we go. Yeah. This week, we're going to take a look at the third part. We've looked at the first two verses. This week, we're going to look at the third verse, the shortest section of the Lord's Prayer, the shortest stanza of verse 11, where it will say, "Give us today our daily bread." But even though this verse is the shortest verse, it's the shortest stanza, the shortest section of the Lord's Prayer, that doesn't mean that it's inconsequential. That doesn't mean that it's insignificant or it's least significant. In fact, in some ways, this is probably one of the most tangibly important parts for our lives today, because we can learn a whole bunch of things just from this verse's inclusion and what this verse has to say. Because there's something that there's a tension that sometimes we can live in when we pray, because sometimes we draw a line between the spiritual things and the practical things. And sometimes we can feel guilty about praying for practical things because it can feel unspiritual. It can feel like, well, this isn't something that a real spiritual person would be praying. Like, I shouldn't just be praying that God would meet my needs. God, is it okay for me to pray that? Is that a lack of faith on my part? Does that show that like I'm not concerned about the right things if I'm praying about these practical things in life? If I'm praying about my needs, if I'm praying about the things in my life, is my heart and my life focused in the right direction if I'm praying about me? But Jesus' inclusion of this in the Lord's Prayer shows us a couple things. First, it shows us that God wants us to pray about these things. That not only are we open, or not only is God open to us praying about them, not only does God tolerate it, but when Jesus teaches us about prayer, one of the things he invites us to pray for is the practical side of our life. That he invites us, he says, I want you to pray for your practical needs, that you don't need to live from these places where I'm only going to pray about these things and I'm going to pretend like the practical parts of my life don't matter. But Jesus invites that in and says, I want you to pray about the practical side of things, that God wants us to pray about them. Because what we see is that no matter how practical these parts of our lives may be, they're actually deeply spiritual. Because God invites us to bring them to him. And so even though they may seem practical from our side of things, God says the practical parts of your life, those are spiritual issues too. God is showing us that when we come to him with this kind of thing, when we come to him with the things going on in our lives, when we come to him with the things that are taking place, our wants, our needs, the things in our life that aren't the way that they should be, the things in our life that we want to see differently, God shows us that his heart when we come to him isn't bread. You're coming to the creator of the universe, the one who spoke creation into being, and you want to talk about bread? God's not saying, look, this is human level stuff. You can figure this out. You are smart. I know how smart you are. I created you. I know you can deal with this on your own. But instead, God says, come to me. In fact, he instructs us. He calls us. He asks us. When he's teaching us what to pray, he says, pray about the practical parts of life. Because for God, there is no practical versus spiritual. For God, it's all part of spiritual. God wants us to have a spiritual connection with him to the practical side of our lives. And so as we look at all that this verse contains, before we dive into the verse, we need to actually go back to the Old Testament for just a moment to help us understand what we're praying here. Because Jesus' prayer of give us today our daily bread isn't just this metaphor that Jesus just kind of pulled out of nowhere. But Jesus is actually referencing something that takes place in the Old Testament, a story that takes place of God's provision in the Old Testament where people were actually asked to trust God daily for their daily bread. See, in the book of Exodus, begins with the Israelites in captivity. They were slaves in Egypt. And the story of the book of Exodus is this miraculous exit, hence the name Exodus, of God's people out of slavery in Egypt. And the story is them going from Egypt to the promised land. Now, if you're familiar with geography at all, you probably would be aware that Egypt is kind of sort of the desert. It's hot, it's arid, it's not conducive to like travel. And especially in large groups. And there may have been upwards of 1 million people as a part of this group. But so this group leaves Egypt and they're journeying to the promised land. But the logistics of moving a group like this are really difficult, and especially in the desert. And eventually the circumstances that they find themselves in begin to take the toll. And there's nothing to eat. And there's nothing to drink. And the people, they start to get discouraged and they start to get fearful. They start to get scared because they're what are we gonna do? We're gonna die out here. And God hears them. God hears their prayer. And God steps into their story in the most miraculous way. In Exodus chapter 16 in verse 4, we read this. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. Incredible, miraculous, unbelievable provision of God. God is going to bring bread from heaven every day, no matter how hot it is. No matter how arid it is, no matter how difficult, no matter how crazy it seems, every day I will bring you bread from heaven. And he will say, the people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. That God is going to bring them their daily bread. That the people are invited to say, God, give us today our daily bread. There's this incredible miracle that takes place. Whereas the people are afraid of what the future might bring, God says, I've got an answer to your prayer. And every day, I will provide for you. You don't need to be worried. You don't need to be afraid. Every day, I will take care of you. Now, there's a lot more to this story. And as we move through the verse this morning, we're going to come back to this time and again. But we need to start from here because this is the imagery that Jesus is referring to. That he's bringing his listeners back to this. And so we want to start from there too. That there's this moment where God makes this promise to his people and says, every day I will provide bread from heaven for you. And so when Jesus teaches the people to pray, give us today our daily bread. This is the image that they're going back to. And so we start from there too. And so what I believe that God wants to show us today is that there's three things that Jesus is trying to teach us inside of this prayer. Three parts to this prayer that God wants to teach us how to understand and how to live in his provision. And so the first thing that Jesus teaches us to pray is he teaches us to pray, give us. That's how the prayer begins. Give us. And so the first thing that Jesus wants to teach us is that Jesus wants to teach us dependence. We need to understand first, of course, here that bread doesn't just refer to simply bread. That it's not a specific prayer request that Jesus said, you can pray for bread and nothing beyond that. You are allowed to pray. If you are gluten intolerant, tough beans. You can pray for it, you just can't eat it. The word is not, that the bread in the front room is not just the literal answer to this prayer, that when you leave today, you could leave with your daily bread. You could grab a loaf of bread on your way out, and today's taken care of. That this is obviously, it's metaphorical. Jesus is inviting us to pray for the needs of our lives. It's not just bread, but physical needs like water, shelter, clothing, health, finances, etc. But it's more than that. It includes psychological needs such as peace of mind, hope, and courage. It includes spiritual needs such as grace and awareness of God and faith itself. Bread fundamentally is Jesus inviting us to pray for everything that we need to keep going. That God, give me today what I need to get through today. God, give me today what it is that I'm going to need to get through all of the people I'm going to see, all of the disappointment I'm going to face, all of the needs I'm going to run into. God, give me today everything that I need to get through to the end of the day today. But when we pray, give us, what we're encouraged to understand, what Jesus wants us to see, is that we need to come and ask God for these things because God is where these things come from. that we are dependent on God, that without God's provision in our lives, we wouldn't have these things. That we need to come to God for our daily bread, that if God doesn't provide it, we don't receive it. And to be sure, this is deeply and profoundly true. The Lord provides it even when we don't think it looks like the Lord's provision. What I mean by this, that is this. Is sometimes we think of God's, when we think of God's provision, we think that God's provision needs to look truly and clearly and obviously miraculous. That I didn't have enough money to cover a bill. And the bill was due and we did not have enough money. And then I went and checked the mail. And inside the mail, there was a check. And the check was for the exact amount we needed. Isn't God's provision amazing? Or a story where we didn't have any groceries. Kids were little. We didn't have groceries and we needed food. And went out and opened the door to our house. And on the doorstep of the house, there was baskets full of groceries. These are stories of people that I know. And we would look at those and we would go, that's incredible, miraculous provision of the Lord. Wow, isn't it incredible when God provides for us like that? When we have a need and we don't know how we're going to meet it, and yet God steps in and miraculously, incredibly, beyond our ability, God meets the need. But my friends, it's no less the Lord's provision in our lives when it seemingly looks unmiraculous. It's no less the Lord's provision in our lives when it looks like getting up every day, going to work, working hard, receiving a paycheck, cashing that check every couple of weeks. It's no less the Lord's provision when it looks decidedly unmiraculous. Just because the Lord provides one way for some and another for others doesn't mean that it's not the Lord providing. The Lord provides everything. Scripture will say, in him we live and move and have our being. James will tell us that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father in heaven. But it's all too easy for us to lose perspective on this. To fall into a place where we think that this is me providing. That I go to work every day. I work hard every day. I get paid every 2 weeks. I go cash the check. I go take... God, this is me providing for my family. God, your provision starts where my provision ends. That God, this isn't something that you... This isn't a miracle. This is hard work. But Paul confronts this loss of perspective when he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He will say, what do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that God didn't give you? Well, what do you have that wasn't a gift from God? And then he'll ask this question. And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you didn't? Well, what do you have that's not a gift from God? Well, nothing. Well, if you have nothing that's not a gift from God, why do you take pride in it as if you didn't receive it? But we recognize that everything comes from God. And when Jesus teaches us to pray, God, give us today our daily bread, we recognize that everything we need for life, if we understand that bread is everything we need, and God tells us to come to God and ask him to give it to us, we have to recognize everything we need comes from God. And so however God is providing for you, God is providing for you. And so we come to God and we say, give us, because God is the one who gives to us. The next part of the prayer says, give us today our daily. Second thing that God wants to show us, God wants to teach us, that Jesus wants for us to understand about God's provision is trust. See, there's no wasted or redundant words. That Jesus, when he says, give us today our daily, didn't just forget kind of whether or not he had said it, and so he re-emphasized it. Give us today our daily, that it's not just weirdly redundant. But instead, because Jesus uses the same phrasing twice in three words, this is a good moment for us to pause and reflect on that. For us to see that Jesus was really trying to stress something important here. See, it's very tempting for us to ask God not just for what we need now, but for what we imagine we're going to need in the future. God, I need bread today, but I'm really going to need it for tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. So God, could we just cut to the chase and maybe we'll tweak it. And we can pray, God, give us today my weekly bread. Because then I'll know I have it. It'll be safe and secure. And it'll still be the Lord's provision, but I'll be able to have it with me. But when we go back to the story of the Israelites in the desert, see, God tells them, I'm going to provide bread for you each and every day. But God wanted the people to trust him each and every day. So the people were instructed to go out and gather for yourself and for your families what you're going to eat that day. No more. Go out and as much as you need for that day, go and gather that. But no more. Because the next day I'm going to provide for you again. And so then that day you go out and you gather more. And so on and so on and so on. This is the rhythm that God wanted them to have. But how many of us know that many of us don't live well in that those kind of parameters? And so God was pushing back on the temptation that we can have to go out and say, well, I'm going to gather what I need for today, but maybe I'll gather a little extra just in case God forgets about tomorrow. What if God doesn't come through tomorrow? What if tomorrow there's no food? What if tomorrow there's no provision? So would it be the worst thing in the world if I just took a little bit more? Just then we can be safe. It'll be okay. I know God said to every day, but it'll be okay. Well, what we see is that God's instructions were to gather bread for that day and no more. God wanted them to rely on him each and every day to provide for them. And if they didn't, we read a handful of verses down in Exodus 16, then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it till morning. Gather what you need, take what you need, eat what you need. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. Some of them said, I can't trust God every day. What if he doesn't come through? What if he doesn't? What if tomorrow there's no bread? And so they kept some of it until morning. But it was full of maggots and began to smell. That God said, don't save it, trust me. And when they didn't trust, it stunk. When they didn't trust, it ruined what they had. When they weren't able to put faith and trust and hope in God, it ruined what was left behind. See, God intentionally wanted them to live from a place where they had to come back to God again and again and again and again. That there would be no breaks from their trust in the Lord. That there would be no break where they could get away from trusting, that they had to trust God each day, every day. God didn't want their trust in him to become complacent or to become background noise because they kind of had everything they needed for a while, and so we don't have to trust God. And so God said, you need to trust me every day. But so often, our prayers, and I know my prayers, to God and for his provision go something along these kind of lines. God, I really think it's unfair that you want me to trust you so much. And so God, I pray that you would provide for me in a way that I would never have to trust for your provision again. God, I don't think it's fair that you want me to trust you so much. I don't think it's fair that I have to trust you every day. And so, God, what I'm asking you is to provide for me in a way that I don't have to trust you. Just give me my inheritance now. Give me everything I need now. And then it's still your provision, but then I don't have to trust you because I know you'll be faithful. So often our prayers to God, whether we say it like that or not, end up from a place like, God, it's not fair. God, why do I have to trust you so much? But God wants us to trust him. God wants us to have to come back to him again and again and again. See, God could have provided them enough manna for a month. God didn't need to do it every day. But God wanted them to come to him every day. God could provide for you in a way you never have to trust him again. But that's not the relationship God wants to have with us, where we get this sort of giant deposit, then we can walk away and say, thanks, God, have a great life. See you on the other side. But God wants us to have to come back again and again and again to form relationship and trust with us. We are called to trust God with our now, that we can believe his character and know that he will supply our needs and our desires today and every day. We need to be willing to trust our Father in heaven that we began this prayer with every moment. We must believe his provision for our life, for our present needs. This is a truth about our relationship with God. It's why the Psalms call him our strength and our refuge, our ever-present help in time of trouble. Because we are invited to come to our Father again and again and again. And so the last part of the prayer for today, say, give us. God wants to teach us dependence. That we come to God each and every, that everything we need, everything we have, everything we receive, it's a gift from God. He wants to teach us dependence. Today, our daily, God wants to teach us trust. That we come to him again and again and again, and in him we find our answer again and again and again. Give us today our daily bread. In praying our daily bread, Jesus shows us that God wants to teach us contentment. We talked earlier about how the bread is really symbolic of many things. It's symbolic of all of the needs, all of the things that we need to go through life. It is a picture of a lot of different things, but there's also profound significance that Jesus chose to use the imagery of bread. See, for many of us, when we think about bread, we think about the most basic kind of foods of life. Like, what does a prisoner get when they're in prison? Bread and water. And it's not because we're like, hey, bread, that would be nice for them. Like, it's like, what is like the most basic thing we can think of? Well, water and bread will give them bread. Jesus invites us to pray for the most simplistic parts of life, the most basic parts of life, not the luxuries of life, not God give us today the filet mignon that you owe us. God, give me today the luxury that I deserve. But God wants us to be content, and so he encourages us, pray for the most basic. See, it can be so easy for us as people to become discontent. In fact, it's probably one of the greatest challenges that we as people face is becoming discontent. See, it can be easy to become discontent when we look at the Lord's provision and compare it to what we think God could have provided. To look at what God's given us and say, you know, I could think of some better options than this. To look and see what God could have done for us, and yet he didn't. And we see this in the story in the Old Testament. If we jump ahead a little bit to Numbers chapter 11, we see that God has been profoundly faithful. Day after day, he has provided this manna from heaven. Day after day, God has given them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. God has provided miraculously. But do you know what the flip side of God's provision of manna is? It's manna for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Every day. Day after day. What's for breakfast? Manna. What's for lunch? Manna. What's for dinner? Manna. Every day. Some people find comfort in a routine like that. Some of your homes, maybe Monday is meatloaf, Tuesday is tacos, Wednesday is spaghetti, whatever it looks like for you. I hate that. My wife and I often are at loggerheads about meal planning because she's like, if we just plan out what we're going to eat, I want to live in the moment. I don't want to know now what I want to have for dinner on Thursday. Ask me on Thursday. Now, we run into problems because, like, what do you want for dinner? I don't know. But day after day, manna, manna, and more manna. And eventually, what happened to us happens to them. And God's miraculous provision starts to become a little frustrating. Starts to become a little benign. Starts to become not so great anymore. And in Numbers chapter 11, starting at verse 4, we read this. The rabble. Now, last week we talked about some principles of Bible study. Rabble is never a good word. I don't know how often it shows up in Scripture, but if you ever see rabble, it's never like, and the rabble praised God. Rabble is always a bad thing. But the rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and saying, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. That's certainly a perspective on it. They were slaves. It cost them an awful lot, but I guess they didn't pay money for it. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also, the cucumbers, the melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. God provides manna from heaven. And eventually the people start to pray for a menu from heaven. God, can we get some cucumbers from heaven? God, some garlic? You said it would rain manna every day. God, can it rain melon? God, you are the infinite, eternal God who can do anything. Surely, there's something more at your disposal than manna. It's been a lot of days of manna, God. This was the most incredible, miraculous provision, but God, surely you've got something else up your sleeve. There's got to be something else you can do here. It was great that God provided this manna, but can't he provide us something else as well? And friends, this can happen to so many of us, where something that was the most miraculous answer to prayer over time becomes a prayer request, where we say, God, I need a job. God, I don't know what the future holds. God, I can't make ends meet. God, would you provide for me a job? And the Lord provides. We get this new job and we celebrate God's provision in our lives. And then we work there for a while. And after a while, God, why did you provide me such a lousy job? God, why did you give me the curse of this job? God, would you give me a new job? God, I don't want this job anymore. God, give me a new job. God, I really want to have kids. God, our heart's desire is that we would be able to have a family. God, I want to have kids. God, would you bless me with kids? God, would you give me kids? And then one day, you have kids. And then you have kids for a while. God, why did you give me these monsters? God, I wanted kids. I didn't want this. God, give me. I wanted little human beings, not these gremlins. Or maybe, God, would you give me a spouse? God, would you give me someone to walk through life with? God, would you give me a partner? God, would you bless me with someone to share life with? And then one day you meet them. The heavens part and the angels sing. And you know, I've found my best friend. I've found the one I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. Things are amazing. Then after a while, God, what did you give me? God, what is this? You want me to spend the rest of my life with that? That we pray and we want and we desire. God, would you answer my prayer? And God answers your prayer. And then after a while, it's like, God, it's still manna. God, I'm so grateful that you gave me manna. But couldn't you do something else too? God, you answered my prayer, but God, I'm kind of tired of this answer to my prayer. God, would you give me a different answer to prayer? We can become discontent by losing focus on the miracle that God has given us when we grow tired of the miracle. Or sometimes we can grow discontent when you look and see what God has done for other people and he didn't do for you. See, one of the greatest things God gave us as a gift is the church, is community, is relationship with each other, that we're not called to live life on our own. We're not called to move to a monastery on the top of a mountain and never speak to anyone ever again. We're called to live life together. But one of the challenges that we face in living life together is that there's other people there. And those other people are going to have different experiences with God than you have. And sometimes other people's experiences with God might cause us to become discontent with our experience with God. That we look around and we say, God, I know you gave me a job, but God, I'd really like it if you gave me their job. God, why didn't you give me that job? God, that's the job I want. God, when you answered their prayer, why didn't you give me them? God, I really would have rather had their kids. Their kids are so well behaved. God, why did you give me? God, give me their blessing. God, I would have really preferred his spouse. I would have really preferred her husband. God, I see what you did for them. God, why didn't you do it for me? God, I've seen how you provided for others. God, why aren't you providing for me the same way? Years and years ago, Yvonne and I had some friends, and they were given a car. Just given a car. And we really struggled with that because we were like, I could use a car. I could use a free car. Why, God, why can't you give me a car? Now, one time I sold a guy a car for a dollar. I'm still pretty sure I got the better end of that deal. No, it wasn't that bad of a car. But it was the car I had at the moment that these other people were given a car. I thought, God, why do they deserve a car and we don't get a car? We really wrestled with this, trying to understand why God would do this, till we began to understand that God had given us a car. God had allowed for us to own two cars. And God had given us the ability to pay for our two cars. The Lord's provision is not the Lord's provision just because someone didn't give it to us. The Lord's provision is the Lord's provision because he gave it to us. He gave us the ability to pay for our vehicles. So if everything is from God, I don't become discontent because God did something for them and not for me. I need to be content with what God has given me. And if what God has given me looks a little less flashy than what God has given someone else, okay. But I need to be content. God told me to pray for bread, that God would meet my needs. And so I pray for bread, that God will meet my needs. And then trust that as he does that, I'm going to be able to be content with what he has for me. This verse challenges us to be content with what God provides. God says, give us today our daily bread. It's a prayer for sufficiency. It's a call to depend on God and trust him that we can be content with what he has for us. It's a challenge to trust that we can be content with whatever God has for your life, even if it's just bread. So I want to give you three takeaways from our time together this morning, three things to go home with. First, every part of our lives matters to God. Second, God invites us to bring our needs to him. And third, we need to rely on God in every season. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that you call us to come to you in our moments of need, that you call us to come to you when we need something, that you don't tell us to take care of it all on our own, but God, you call us to come even for the simplistic, basic level needs in our lives. And so God, we are so grateful that you want us to do that. We're so grateful that you ask us to do that. And so God, I pray for each one here gathered today, God, that we would feel confident and comfortable coming to you with our wants. God, may we not feel shame coming to you with our needs. May we not feel shame. May we not feel like these are unwelcomed prayers. But God, I thank you that you call us to pray. And so God, we pray today for our daily bread. God, for each one today, God, would you give us what you have for us today? But God, I pray that you continue to grow in us and work in us, to build trust in us. God, that we wouldn't somehow grow tired of trusting you. That we wouldn't somehow live from a place where we're frustrated by our need to trust you. God, where we wouldn't somehow feel it unfair to trust you. But God, I thank you that you want us to trust you each day. And God, that's a call on us and it's a promise from you. That each and every day when we come to you in trust, God, that you will meet us and you will provide for us. And God, I pray for those gathered here today who maybe are struggling with trust, who are maybe afraid of trust, who are maybe frustrated with trust. God, would you begin to work in us and allow us to trust you? And God, I pray for contentment. God, I pray that as you provide for us, God, may we not dream and imagine of what your provision could have been. But God, may we rejoice in what your provision is. And God, may we not be a people who live in envy or jealousy of the provision you gave someone else. But God, may we be a people who are content with what you have given each one of us. God, I thank you that you provide for us. God, I thank you that for each and every one of us and each and every one of our lives, God, you are our provider. God, we look to you and we invite you to give us today our daily bread. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If you don't know sin and shame. Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go. My everything. Thank you, Lord.